So he accepted initiation from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He has been traveling through North America, the former Soviet Union, and India, lecturing and delivering the teachings of Bhagavad Gita to the books of Srila Prabhupada. He was a pioneering preacher in the Soviet Union, where he risked his life for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And now there are thousands, tens and thousands of devotees, fired up devotees in that region. He is current GBC of Russia and Ukraine, and under his inspiration, devotees in Ukraine yearly celebrate a festival which is attended by 7,000 to 8,000. One of his books written by Maharaj, Caring for Devotees, is an important foundation for our counseling system. He is specially loved around the world for his melodious kirtan, and we are very fortunate to have here, and we would like to express our gratitude by chanting 3 times loudly, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj ki.
Krishnapistaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Tricharne Nivasesa Sunyavadi Hastachari Sattarne Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Oh. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ramo Ramo Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jayo Jayo Prabhupada 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 Jayo Jayo Prabhupada 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 Jayo Prabhupada
Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Viranta Samanita Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pujarane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastuchade Sutarane So I thank you all for coming today and for allowing me to be here with you and your association. Very happy to be here, as always. And it's been a whole year, I think, since I was here last time. And I'm feeling great separation from all the devotees of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. So Krishna has given me the opportunity today to be here with you during the Sunday program, although unfortunately I'm missing the presence of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who had to attend another program, but I look forward to seeing him tomorrow because I will be here for the next several days. I usually have to apologize. I've just come from Moscow just a few days ago. I've been in the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, for some time, and I'm used to being translated sentence after sentence, and, and it always takes me one or two classes to adjust, so if it looks like I'm adjusting, that's that's what's happening. As we were driving yesterday, driving from one devotee's home to another devotee's home, we hit a terrible traffic jam. And although it was a very short distance, which should have only taken 10 or 15 minutes, it ended up taking about an hour and 20 minutes. And the driver was apologizing. Maharaj, Maharaj, I'm so sorry. But Moscow was actually worse than Mumbai. I just thought I'd let you know. So I said to him, well, don't worry, at least it's not snowing. And everybody laughed. I said, well, you always look at things in a positive way, I guess. But it's a fact. It was snowing in Moscow, and it would have taken us 3 hours to get to the destination if I was driving in Moscow snow. It was also minus 15 degrees, so things are a little bit different here. So I'm going to read today a verse from Bhagavad Gita. This is the 18th chapter, text 58. I'll read first the Sanskrit, then the translation and purport. Machchita savadurgani mat prasadat tarishyasi atachetvam ahankaram Nashrosyasi vinankshasi. Translation. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Purport. A person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws. But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done, but a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Slakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bangum Bangayati Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurun Dinatananam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Niyavishesha Sanyavari Paschachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavyebhyo Namo Namaha. The verse again is, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. This is a very important instruction from Krishna to Arjuna. And he's giving insight how to deal with obstacles in this world. Anyone who is a little introspective about life certainly has to draw a conclusion at some point in his life that there are many obstacles to the fulfillment of our goals or our desires in life. These obstacles, as Krishna explains elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivyeshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratiya, this divine nature of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But anyone who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. Krishna's recommendation to Arjuna, the method of overcoming obstacles on the path of devotional service for those who are endeavoring to achieve the goal of devotional service. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sri Bhakti Loka, he explains that everyone is aspiring for some goal. He's describing the three classes of transcendentalists, those who are engaged in karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti. He says the karmis, they want some result, they want some fruit of gain. The jnanis also aspire for some result. They want liberation. And the devotees also aspire for some result. Although we oftentimes hear that a devotee should never aspire for any result, but he explains that the result a devotee of the Lord aspires for in the execution of his devotional service is that he wants to obtain Krishna's pleasure. That is the result. Let Krishna become pleased by my efforts in devotional service. And there are many descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam. One verse comes to mind, which gives evidence that getting Krishna's pleasure is not always so easy. Prahlad Maharaj says, "My dear friends, you can't please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if you become an expert Brahmin, you become advanced in etiquette or vast learning, nor by austerities, great sacrifices, chastity, acceptance of vows. None of these things awaken the pleasure of the Lord. The Lord is pleased only when one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. And without sincere devotional service, everything else is simply a show." So the devotee, he wants the result, which is to obtain Krishna's pleasure. But Prahlad Maharaj is herein saying, well, okay, if you want Krishna's pleasure, there's only one way to obtain it. Unflinching, unalloyed devotional service. And anything else is a show. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Chapastapa Apranasiva Dehanam Mandanam Lokaranjanam, as it is stated. For a person who is devoid of devotional service, even if he obtains even performs all kinds, chants all kinds of Vedic mantras, takes birth in a very high birth, high family, even if he's performs all kinds of austerities, expert in the Vedas. Bhagava bhakti hinasya jati shastram jabhastapa. They're all like ornaments on a dead body. They simply serve the concocted pleasures of the general populace. So, therefore, on the path of devotional service, when one is trying to awaken the pleasure of the Lord, for those who are engaged in the process of sadhana bhakti, they'll find that there are many obstacles that need to be overcome. Most of the obstacles that we experience are simply those that are within the heart that need to be cleared. These obstacles, as we know, are described as anarthas, and they can be cleansed from within the core of the heart by only by obtaining help from the Lord. Krishna, he removes those obstacles. He removes the impediments. He removes the unwanted desires within the heart of that person, which Bhagavatam states, who develops the urge to always hear his messages. And that's what Krishna is saying here. He says, if you become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of a conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through a false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. So, therefore, the best way to overcome the obstacles on the path of bhakti is by cultivating remembrance of the Lord through hearing about his activities and pastimes. And as what Krishna says here, or as Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, one becomes freed from anxiety. Person in full Krishna consciousness, as he said, is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from anxiety. Anxiety is another. Obstacles is one thing we can relate to. Anxiety is another experience, another phenomena. We can all, at one point or another in our life, can relate to anxiety. Prabhupada once said in one lecture, he says, the material world is called Kunta. Is Vaikunta? No anxiety. He says, but the material world is Kunta. It is a place of anxiety. Can't avoid it. He says, but there's two types of anxiety. He says, there's material anxiety and there's spiritual anxiety. Material anxiety is the cause of bondage. Spiritual anxiety is the cause of liberation. But anxiety, he says, you must accept. There's no way around it. You must accept. So, of course, an intelligent person will be thinking, well, how to become freed from anxiety, which is also one of the byproducts of remembrance of Krishna. Because Krishna says, if you remember me always, you'll become free from anxiety. So, Prabhupada gives the example, I think, on that lecture. He says, just like the materialistic person, he's always anxious, where is money, where is money? He says, but he's always anxious how to accumulate money, but when he accumulates it, then he's in anxiety. How do I spend it? How do I protect it? Where do I put it? Do I invest it? Do I hide it under the mattress? What do I do with it? How will I not lose it? So he uses that. That was his example of material anxiety. You know. He said spiritual anxiety is just like a devotee who's always anxious for Krishna's service. And I think he used the example of just like a temple president. He also has to be in anxiety. But he's always thinking how to obtain these assets for the service of the Lord. But of course, Prabhupada gives the example here, an explanation here, that for a devotee, he can become free from his anxiety in the execution of his duties if he's always conscious of his subordinate position to the Lord. That is how to become free. It's an art. How to be always conscious of our subordinate position to the Lord and not to falsely think under the influence of the illusory energy that we are the doers. Prakute kriyamanani gunai kamani savasha. Krishna says the bewildered soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature, he thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actuality carried out by material nature. So the art, he said, of becoming free from anxiety is how to work in this consciousness of always being subordinate up to Krishna. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story, in the description of Lord Brahma's prayers for creative potency, Lord Brahma is praying to the Lord how to create a universe and not become entangled in it. Imagine. I mean, things that we do, which may somehow, if we're not careful, fool us into thinking we've done it. Right? We get some result, some small result. And we look at it externally and it appears to be very successful. Oh, I wanted to get this job. I got it. You know, by my hard efforts. You know. Or I wanted to obtain this, any result we may be. And then after some endeavor, prolonged endeavor, it appears. And then, you know, we begin to identify with the things that we did, you know, which led up to the what we perceive as the fruit of our efforts. And when the fruit comes, immediately we think, oh, look what I did. We're very eager, usually, to take credit when some nice result appears. But actually, Prabhupada explains in this particular example of Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma had to create a whole universe, and he's thinking, how do I create a whole universe and not think that I did it? We do something very small, but create a universe? And then Prabhupada explains in the commentary, he says, fortunate is the person who's entrusted with responsible work. And if he's always conscious of his subordinate position to the Lord, then whatever manifests as a result will always be done nicely. Because the nice result will manifest if we're always conscious that we're a servant of Krishna. Even though externally it may not appear so nice. Because we never know what is Krishna's plan. Nahyasyat kahichid rajan bhumadveda vihitsatam. This is Bhishma Dev said, nobody can understand the plan of Lord Shri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, certainly they're bewildered. So sometimes it may appear so many adversities are coming. And when we think, why are these manifesting? But we may not know what is, may not understand what is Krishna's plan. In all of this, if we're dependent on Krishna, Krishna has some plan. And Prabhupada in the commentary of that verse, he says, the devotee, therefore, he simply accepts that Krishna is the supreme plan maker. I have my plans. Krishna has his plans. And whatever plans I may have, I Krishna always has the final decision. That's Krishna. That's the difference between Krishna and me. Krishna always has the final decision. So a devotee, he says in the commentary of that verse, Nihyasya kahiche rajan bhuma veda vidhitsitan yadvijigyasya yakta muyanti kaviyopihi. He says, therefore a devotee, he's always conscious of being subordinate to the Lord, and he's always obedient to the will of the Lord in the execution of his duties. And therefore, this is how he transcends the dualities, the perplexities of this world, because he's able to be conscious of Krishna. If we're not doing something for Krishna, how can we be conscious of Krishna? How can we depend on him? If we're doing something on false ego, and it's not manifesting, immediately we start thinking like, how can I get the result that I want? Or we become discouraged, disappointed, depressed. Why is it not happening the way I want it? If we identify with the fruit and think that, yes, by my efforts, it will come, and therefore we think, by my own initiative, I am undertaking this endeavor, then how can we think of Krishna? Therefore, Krishna is saying in the previous verse, he says, in all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection, and such devotional service become fully conscious of me. Depend on me, he says. If you're conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If you're not conscious of me, as he says, that not hearing me, you will be lost. Therefore, a devotee practices remembrance of Krishna. So, Prabhupada says in that commentary about Lord Brahma, he says that for a devotee who's always conscious of his subordinate position of the Lord, whatever he does, the result will manifest nicely. He says, but even if we forget, if we're not conscious of our subordinate position, and even though it may appear to be like an externally a very nice result, it's not done that nicely. Because the real result is that Krishna's will must manifest, that it is his desire, and a devotee therefore must be always conscious that, yes, this is manifest by Krishna's will. Prabhupada was always teaching us that by his own example. He's always saying things like, look what Krishna has sent me. My spiritual master sent all of you to me to help me. I remember, actually, I was just telling yesterday one devotee a story. When when I went to the Bhaktivedanta archives, and I always go there to the archives to find out what new material they have. And the devotee received me. He said, Maharaj, I got something you want to see. So I said, really? What have you got? He said, I just got it just a few days ago. I said, What is it? He said, it's Prabhupada's diary from 1966. I said, wow, you have Prabhupada's diary? He said, yes, it's the original diary. Just gave him to me just a few days ago. You want to see it? I said, what kind of a question is that? Of course I want to see it. He said, okay, but don't take it out of here. I said, okay, no, I won't take it. So he pulled out from the file cabinet this diary. And he put it in my hands, and I didn't know what to think, didn't know where to start. So I said, can I go in the other room? So he said, yes, go ahead, take any other. So I went in the other room, and I started looking through the pages. I immediately came upon this quote that was fascinating. It's just like, it was a classic Srila Prabhupada, February 1966. Prabhupada had written down, I can't think of the exact words, but I'm paraphrasing, but it's very close. He had written in his diary, because he had gone that day to do a recording, chanting, with a few of the people that he had introduced to chanting. And they had made a recording, and Prabhupada said in his diary, he wrote in his journal entry, he said, today, you know, he said, Haridas Thakur has said that anyone who hears these holy names, even if they are animals or insects or beasts, that the holy name of the Lord will become attractive to anyone. He says, today, I have personally witnessed the statement of Haridas Thakur. These American boys and girls have all become attracted to chanting. And then he said, this is not my credit. He said, this is all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. No credit is mine. I mean, you can look, it's in the published book. But I happened to see that. I said, Prabhupada was just describing that anyone will become attracted to the holy name. He said, even animals and beasts. And he said, today I personally witnessed it. You can imagine the type of people Prabhupada in February 1966 in Lower East Side of Manhattan. I don't know who was with him at the time. I should find out who was there, that recording. But his bottom line was, this is all Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. It is not my doing. He says, he has made this possible today. That's how he thinks. He was teaching by his own example that everything is happening by the mercy of the Lord, and never thinking himself to be the doer. And for being in that consciousness, anyone who actually strives to always hear, chant, to remember the Lord, then what Krishna says here is that he removes all of their obstacles in their life. And he says, Prabhupada even gives the example, he said, just like, for one, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged, working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. I imagine it. Here we are in so much anxiety, thinking about how to make arrangements to become freed from anxiety. Which Prahlad Maharaj also says, in the material world, every materialist is endeavoring for happiness, and he's trying to mitigate his anxiety, and therefore he's acting accordingly. He says, actually, however, one cannot be happy as long as he endeavors for happiness. Because as soon as he begins his endeavors for happiness, immediately he creates all his conditions for distress. Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old boy, says, you know, we're making all these endeavors to become happy and to mitigate anxieties. And little do we know that in all of our efforts to mitigate our anxieties, we're creating more anxieties. Because we're not depending on Krishna. And Krishna, who is our best friend, can remove all anxieties much better than, imagine if you had a best friend who was always just with you every time, and you had any little obstacle, he would take care of it. See to your comfort, see to your needs, see that you had everything you had. That best friend is Krishna. He's ready to do that if we turn to him. But we need to remember him. Like Prabhupada once, he told the story of himself when he was a household and he had his son on the train. And he said, when they got on the train, they went off for some time, and then the conductor came around to collect the tickets. And the conductor turned to Prabhupada's son when he was a householder. He said, where is your ticket? And the son said, I don't have a ticket. And the conductor was playing with me. He said, you don't have a ticket? And the boy, no. Get off the train. get off the train. He was trying to be very serious, although he was very joking. But this Prabhupada's son didn't know he was joking. And then Prabhupada, when he was telling his story, he said, but immediately his son looked up and immediately said to the conductor, oh, he's my father. Answer to all problems. Solution. Nothing else. No other adjustments required. Oh, he's my father. Anxiety gone. Prabhupada used this example. He said, yes, this is a devotee. All he has to do is remember, yes, Krishna's in control. Anxiety gone. Not so easy. But that's what Prabhupada was saying. Because he says, if you remember Krishna, if you're always endeavoring to please him, to serve him, then Krishna can make a much better arrangement than we can make ourselves. He knows how to remove obstacles in the path of devotional service. He knows better, because he knows everything that's in the heart. And he knows all the obstacles that are there due to our attachments within the heart, and therefore he arranges in such a way, and therefore he may sometimes put devotees in difficulty. Yes, yaham anugrahami harishe tadanam chanai. Someone may say, what have I done to get this result? But he may not understand that actually Krishna's removing obstacles, believe it or not. If we always just depend on him, if we always just remember him, if we always just be conscious of him, even in the face of adversity, anxiety will go away. That is the true test that everybody has to face throughout one's life. Makes me think of a story I'd like to tell, actually. This is a very nice story. I think it's quite appropriate for this topic. It'll take me a little while. It's a very nice story. It's about my god sister. Maybe some of you have heard it. But it's about my god sister. Her name is Mother Isha. In fact, Mother Isha served here in Mumbai, and Juhu Temple, she was Tulsi Pujari back in mid-1970s or something like that, just while before the temple was constructed. But then she went back to America, and then she was transcribing Prabhupada's translations of Bhagavatam. That was her service. She worked for ISKCON Press. And she was always, you may have seen, there was a picture of her in Back to Godhead, old Back to Godhead magazine, with these big headphones on her ears, and she's sitting in front of the typewriter. And she was always hearing Prabhupada's words. But there's a very nice story which, in connection to Mother Isha, which shows how Krishna removes obstacles in the path for a devotee who always endeavors to remember him. And when I think of Mother Isha, because I've known her for many years. Presently she's 95 years old. And she joined Krishna consciousness when she was in her 50s, which at that time in the early 1970s was not an easy thing to do, because she lived in a temple with all these children who are like old enough to be her children. They were in their 20s. She was in her mid-50s. But yet she lived in the temple. She was very, those who knew her back then, she was very happy, just serving Prabhupada. I didn't know her back then. I got to know her later, in the late 70s, early 80s, when I was a temple president of Boston. And it got to the point where she was getting a little elderly, the temples couldn't properly provide for her. And she was living in her hometown, which was not far from the Boston Temple. And about 90 miles from the Boston Temple. And she would come and serve in the temple all the time. She would mainly come on the weekends. And the one thing about Mother Isha is that she would never speak about anything except Krishna. I never heard anything come out of her mouth except Krishna consciousness. It was always very simple. She always used to say things like, Krishna can do anything, Prabhu. You know, she was known for this. This was her trait, her characteristic. Any obstacle in her life, her answer was, Krishna can do anything. Don't be in anxiety. Krishna can, and she would always be happy. She'd always be smiling. And she always, whenever she met anybody, she would always say, Hari Bol, spirit soul. Standard. Hari Bol, spirit soul. And she would come to the temple, and she used to ride around on a bicycle, actually, in her hometown. She would go everywhere. She would get everything she needed. She lived alone. Her husband died some time before. She had no children. She had only a niece who was very antagonistic and didn't really appreciate Isha's involvement with Prabhupada's movement. So she was pretty much alone. But wherever, she was always preaching. And she, wherever she would go, she'd always have some mantra cards or some books. And wherever she went into, whatever shop she went into, she would just always dressed in her sari, preach, and talk about Prabhupada, talk about Krishna. Many people actually became attracted to her, and I used to go down and do programs in her hometown because she was always meeting people and she would invite them, and I would go there and I would give a lecture and meet the people that she had met in the course of her preaching there. And on the weekends, she would always come to the Boston and she would serve Radha Gopi Vallabha. She would immediately go into the pujari. Well, actually, she used to come to me first and report in and say, Hari Bol, spirit soul. And she would tell me what she was preaching for the week and when people that she met, and then she would go bathe, put on her clean sari and go down, and she would serve the deities all day long, and then after, when the Sunday feast began, she would always go around and just meet guests and just, Hari Bol, spirit soul, same thing. And she'd give them the mantra and say, can you chant this? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. She'd get people to chant, and people were so disarmed. I mean, they were just so, nothing they could do. They would just see these people walking in for the first time and just chanting with her. Look at this elderly woman. At that time, she was in her 70s. And she would get them to chant. And she was somebody that did not know obstacles. That's always the impression I'd had of her. She did not know any obstacles. For her, Krishna consciousness was just very simple. Serve the devotees, serve Srila Prabhupada, serve the deities, chant Hare Krishna. That's all one has to do in life. And she met people sometimes when she got even older. She met somebody who could see she was having a difficult time. And this woman who I met later, and I'll tell you the circumstances under which I met her, I asked her, because she started going when Isha was getting too old, and she couldn't even go and do her own shopping. This woman started to do everything for Isha. She would go and buy her everything she needed, and she would take care of the house and clean the house, and she was always with her, so much so that her husband felt like, you know, like abandoned. And one time I asked her, I said, so when I met her recently, I asked her, so you're a devotee? She says, I don't know what a devotee is. I said, if a devotee is somebody who loves Isha, then I'm a devotee. That was her answer. She didn't know anything. I mean, really, she didn't know much. Although Isha always told her about Prabhupada, she told her about other devotees, and she knew about me because I've known Isha for so long. And Isha, at one time, she even called me and asked me, she says, you know, I don't have much money, she said, but I want to give everything, make sure everything goes to Prabhupada when I die. She said, can I put your name in my will and you'll use everything for Prabhupada? So I said, well, you could just put the temple. She said, no. She said, I'll put it in your name. So I didn't argue, although it wasn't really. But I've known her for so long. She's actually like a Siksha Guru for me, to be honest with you. Not like, she is my Siksha Guru. I have to be honest. Anyways, and 6 years ago, when I was visiting America, somebody had called the temple and left a message on the machine, on the answering machine. And nobody at that time, not too many people knew who Isha was, who were living at the temple at the time, because she hadn't been coming around for a while. And as it turned out, she had a stroke. Isha had a stroke. When she was 89, she had a stroke, and she was walking up the stairs, and her friend came and found her and called an ambulance and immediately brought her into the hospital. And she called the temple to say that Isha had a stroke, and she thought the devotee should know that. So I happened to be in America at the time. I called the temple, and they said, do you know anybody by the name of Isha? So I said, yes. What about her? She said, somebody left a message on the answering machine saying that Isha had a stroke and she lost her memory. And so I said, oh, really? So I immediately arranged my schedule, and within 2 days I was at the hospital to go to see her. And she had lost all of her memory in the stroke. She didn't know her name. She didn't know where she lived. And she didn't know how to dress. She didn't know how to eat. Everything. So I called, and this woman, her name was Sandy, who was friends with Isha. She was in the hospital room with her, so I called her to find out when I could come to the hospital. She answered the phone. So Sandy answered the phone. I said, I'd like to come tomorrow. Will it be possible? He said, yes, it's possible. You can come. Isha's doing a little bit better, but she still doesn't have any memory. So I said, can I speak to Isha? So Sandy said, Isha, Naranjana Swami's on the phone. Do you want to speak to him? So she grabbed the phone, and she immediately said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada! I said, Mother Isha, and nothing else. She didn't say anything else. So then she gave the phone back to Sandy. I said, it sounds to me like she hasn't lost all her memory, has she? She said, yes, no, she hasn't lost all her memory. She still remembers some things, but she seems to remember only anything in relationship to Krishna. I said, really? So I came there the next day to the hospital, and she was in a therapy, and they were trying to help her, teaching her how to dress and things like that. So after, I had to wait for some time in the waiting room, and then one of the nurses who had had been taking care of her and knew her condition, brought her out, and she was in the wheelchair, and she's just looking at me, and I said, Hare Krishna, Mother Isha. And she was just kind of looking. She was, you could see, she did nothing. So when another nurse came over who knew her, and her name was Edith, she sat down with Edith. She said, Edith, what's your name? She didn't respond. She said, where's your home? And Isha says, Vrindavan. And the woman didn't recognize the word Vrindavan. So she thought she said Wisconsin. So she said, Wisconsin? And Isha said, oh, no, Vrindavan is my home. And that was it. It was the only thing she said. She didn't say anything else. And then another nurse came by. This is, I said, 6 years ago. Another nurse came by, and Mother Isha looked up to the nurse and said, are you a vegetarian? And Sandy, who knows Isha, she immediately started clapping her hands. She said, that's the Isha I know. That's the Isha I know. She's always preaching. She's coming back. That's coming back. And she looked at me. She was all excited. So Isha just looked at this nurse and said, and the nurse was just, she didn't know what to say. She said, well, you know, I do stay away from red meat from time to time. And Isha just looked at her and she said, you must be vegetarian. And then this other devotee, he came with me, immediately started taking over and started explaining what does it mean to be a vegetarian, because Isha couldn't say anything more than that. And then a couple of days later, I came back again to see her with a few other devotees. And I didn't know that at that time, when Isha had fallen down the stairs, her japa beads had broken, and she hadn't chanted since then. But the devotee came with me. He was chanting on his beads. And Isha looked up, and she just was staring at his beads. So the devotee, Imunajivana, said, he thought, maybe she wants my beads. So he handed her the beads. And she took the beads, and the whole rest of the visit, she didn't look, she didn't notice anybody else. She just put her hand in the bead bag, and she was just chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No other words were coming. She didn't say anything else. She was just chanting. And she kept the beads. So time had passed, and I had arranged, because I was afraid that devotees didn't know Isha, so I made arrangements that devotees would go, and we were trying to arrange to bring her to Vrindavan, but her antagonistic niece would refuse to let us take her anywhere, because she was being a relative, she had custody, and so she had to stay, and eventually she was put into a nursing home, I would send devotees to go and see her. And over the course of time, she lost every remembrance of anything. She couldn't say any words except two things, which I found out in my last visit. And this is amazing. If you want to see it, go to YouTube and type in Mother Isha chanting. You go there. So I went there and visited the summer of last year. And we went to the nursing home where she had been staying. And when I went into the room, I could see she didn't remember me. She was just sitting in the chair. And she didn't say much. She didn't say anything, actually, excuse me. And she didn't even look much. She was having a hard time remaining conscious. So I went back to the desk and I asked what was her state of consciousness. I spoke to the nurses who were in charge, and they said, yes, her memory is, she doesn't do very much. She said that all we hear from her is the Krishna song. So I said, the Krishna song? She said, yes, that's the only thing we hear is the Krishna song. Nothing else. So I went back into the other room, and I went to Mother Isha. So I took her hands in my hands, and I said, Mother Isha, Hare Krishna. And she looked up to me, she said, Hare Krishna. I said, Hare Krishna. She said, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. And it's all she can say. Nothing else. That's all she can say is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the whole mantra. And as I was leaving, because I spent some time, but it was a bad time of the day, the nurse said, if you want to come back, the better time is in the afternoons. She's a little bit more active. In the morning is not a very good time. So I left, and as I was walking out, one of the nurses of the nursing home, she saw me, I was dressed in my devotional clothes, and she was carrying some people in the wheelchairs and putting them, taking them someplace. And she came over to me, she said, who are you here to see? I said, Edith Graves. She said, I knew it. I said, as soon as I saw, I knew you. She said, I love that woman. I said, really? She says, that woman, she's so peaceful. She says, she has no anxieties. She's so self-contented. I've never met anybody like that in all the years I've been working in this nursing home. She says, if you want to see her in action, come on Friday afternoons. I said, what happens on Friday afternoons? I said, she said, we have sing-alongs. I said, what do you mean? She says, we all get together and we sing, you know, these old songs from the 20s and we have people come and lead it. She says, but she leads everybody in the Krishna song. I said, really? He said, yes, you come on Friday afternoon, you'll see for yourself. So I couldn't come that Friday. So I was leaving, so I think I was going to the West Coast. I sent another devotee to go there. But then another woman who was in a wheelchair, she heard us talking about Isha. She said, you're talking about Edith, right? I said, yes. And she says, I love that woman. She just came out of nowhere. I said, really? She said, yes. She says, everybody in the whole place loves that woman. She's so self-satisfied. Because, I don't know if you ever go into a nursing home when people 90s, everybody's demanding attention, screaming, yelling. You know, I know because I just had to go the last couple of months when my mother was in a nursing home and just before she departed. And people in there were screaming, cursing, and it was a very difficult place to be in. But this woman says, oh yes, she says, she's a real live wire. I said, real live wire? I said, so I said, yeah. She said, you should come on Friday afternoon. She said, she's got everybody singing the Krishna song. So, you know, I sent another devotee. I wanted him to, you know, I said, you got to go. You've got to keep in touch, you know. And although he wasn't able to go, they didn't allow him to use in the nursing home to video any of the events. We wanted to interview the people also, but he wouldn't allow us to do that. But he was with Mother Isha, and every time he spoke to Mother Isha, he would just say, Mother Isha, and he would start chanting. And it's just, only thing that came out of her mouth was, Hare Krishna. I can't remember the melody she was chanting. I think it was the Tulsi Aarti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And she chanted so melodiously. So melodiously. But that was the only thing she could say. And what I could see, this woman has no anxieties. No anxieties. She's not even, she's like completely detached from her body. She's not even aware of it. She's not even aware of it. Krishna has just removed all obstacles in her life because all she would speak about, hear about, chant, was only about Krishna. And Krishna was in her heart, just removed all the obstacles on her path. And she's completely Krishna conscious. Completely Krishna conscious. If you look at her, anyone who looks at her, I mean, I've gone there, anyone else has gone there, there's no anxieties at all. Krishna removes all the obstacles in the path for the devotee. She's 95 now. And I told the devotees, I says, if Mother Isha ever passes this world and nobody knows about it, this will be, you have to stay in touch. You have to make sure you know what's going on. And we've already prepared devotees who know her are going to coming from all over the movement. She's going back to Godhead. And my experience, because I says I'd known her throughout the last 40 years, is that Krishna, although has put her what may appear to be a very difficult situation, very difficult situation. You may think, lose one's memory to not even know all the simple basics of life. Although she's learned how to eat, she's learned how to dress and do the basic things. But she cannot say anything else except Hare Krishna mantra and Prabhupada. That's it. Nothing else comes out from her mouth. So, I wanted to share this with you. And many devotees I know who have seen the videos that were posted, many devotees have written comments. It was on, I think, dandavats.com, I think, is where it had been posted. They always were saying, when they see this, it just gives them great faith. How fortunate we are. So one may say, why is it that we only endeavor to remember Krishna? Why is it we always endeavor to think of Krishna? Why is it we always endeavor to speak of Krishna? Why is it that, we see, because people, when they think, they see it externally, from an external point of view, it seems like, don't you people do anything else but think about Krishna and chant about Krishna? I mean, I used to preach in the colleges in Boston back in the 70s and 80s when I was the president. We used to hear about our daily activities, and without fail, all the students, one of the questions they would always ask was, what do you people do for fun? It's just, don't you do anything besides Krishna? I mean, this for Krishna, that for Krishna. What? Isn't that awesome? But that's it. That's what life is meant for. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains in his Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, he says that for a devotee, the real perfection of a devotee's life is Kirtaniya Sadahari. He says a devotee must always be chanting the glories of the Lord. He says, but what does Kirtaniya Sadahari mean? Because he says sometimes it may be very difficult to always chant about Krishna. And he speaks about the householders. The householders, they have to do many other things to maintain their bodies, to fulfill the necessities for their family members. And what does Kirtaniya Siddhahari mean for those who are householders? He says it means that according to one's position, one must always chant about Krishna. He says, for a householder, if he didn't work to maintain himself and has to discuss other activities, then his body would expire untimely. Therefore, he has to perform his duties. But beyond his duties, what is the whole purpose for maintaining the body? The whole purpose of maintaining the body, as explained in the Bhagavatam, is that life desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire to live only because the human form of life enables one to inquire to the absolute truth. This should be the goal of all of one's work. That means that whatever one does, he performs his duties to maintain his body, but the whole purpose for doing that, for maintaining the body, is so that he can hear a chant about Krishna. Otherwise, what is the value? What is the value of maintaining a body if it's not utilized to its full potential for hearing and chanting about Krishna? Therefore, he says, Kirtaniya Sadahari means that according to one's position in life, he performs his duties for the purpose of always chanting and hearing about Krishna. That is Kirtaniya Sadahari. So, I saw that in my god sister. She lived, she maintained herself, she saw no obstacles in her life. She did everything that was necessary for maintaining her body for the purpose of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And therefore, perfection is assured, is guaranteed. And Krishna says, Yaidam Paramam Guyam Mad Bhakteshva Vajashati. For one who tells others about Krishna, for him devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he comes back to me. The chatasman manushishu kashchan me priya kritama. There's no servant in this world who's more dear to me than he. Nor will there ever be one more dear. Krishna says, guaranteed. Guaranteed. How many guarantees can we really rely on in this world? Right? We get so many guarantees. You use this product, yes, guaranteed. Put your money in this bank, guaranteed. Yeah, we so many things. But Krishna gives his guarantee. He says, devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he comes back to me. Just use this life to its full potential. Use it. Don't waste it. Use every moment that we have when we're not engaged in our duties for hearing and chanting about Krishna so that we can always remember him. Even in the execution of our duties. One's life will become perfect. Krishna will make all arrangements. He'll remove all obstacles on the path. He'll see to our comfort. And he'll welcome us in his embrace as he accepts us back into his eternal entourage. That is the destination of a devotee who understands the meaning of this verse. I think I have to end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Good question. Question. Yes, sir. I don't know. Should I take questions? Yes? Some questions? Okay. Yes?
Hare Krishna.
No, I'm fine.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for sharing your realizations, and all glories to Mother Isha. My question is, I am a householder, and day after day, every day we have so much of anxieties, and some anxiety are really with so much of intensity that it really disturbs you. And when these type of anxiety comes, and somehow and sometimes, if we by the mercy of Krishna, if we are able to take shelter of his lotus feet, and by chance or if by the mercy of Krishna everything falls on the place, everything is fine, then the minds tell us that the mind gives us the reason to be proud of, that everything is fine just because I took shelter of Krishna. And not only this proud comes, but another thing is that we think superior from others, that see this anxiety is troubling him because he could not take shelter, and the anxiety is not troubling me because I took shelter.
And what was the last thing you said? I'm sorry. The very last thing.
We got a superiority complex, like this devotee is not taking shelter of Krishna, so he is doomed. And since I could take the shelter of Krishna, so I am now, everything is fine with me. So this proud and superiority complex comes in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Then how to deal with
it? That's the question. Yeah. Krishna is very expert. He knows how to deal with it. As soon as you think you're standing tall, he pulls the rug out right from underneath. So, yes, I mean, I understand the point that we think, yes, just see the result. But we also have to be very careful. Because, as we explained, the real result that is attractive is our remembrance of Krishna. And if we're thinking, look what I did, that's not remembrance of Krishna. That's pride. And therefore, we may think the result is that is attractive is, I'm not in anxiety. That's the result. But actually, the result, the devotees is supposed to be thinking, is that there's life beyond relief. We tend to think, I'm successful if I get relief. I'm successful if my anxiety is gone. Everything's going nicely. Just see how Krishna be moved. Or just see how what happened is my anxiety has gone away. But actually, simply to get relief is not the result a devotee is looking for. That's what the gyanis are looking for. They want relief. They want liberation. Freedom from all anxiety. But a devotee wants Krishna's pleasure. And therefore, as long as we're proud, Krishna will never be pleased. And in fact, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam which states the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully satisfied to possess only devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the activities of those devotees. He said, those who are proud, being puffed up by their high parentage or by their material opulence or their high education, they oftentimes will deride devotees of the Lord. And therefore, even if such persons offer worship to the Lord will never accept it. Fourth canto Bhagavatam, Narada Muni's instructions. He said, a proud person, when he becomes proud of his achievements, when he sees others who don't have those achievements, he derides them. He thinks, oh, just see. You know, it's just like people would deride Shukumbhar Brahmachari for living like a beggar off the streets. Right? Deride Kolavecha Shuddha. You know, for making noise apparently all night long and for living impoverished when he could be worshipping the goddess Durga. So persons who are proud of their achievements, they deride those who externally do not appear to have the same achievements they have. That's the result of pride. That's the danger of pride. And therefore, such persons, when they look derisively upon others thinking, oh, he doesn't have the same achievements that I've made, then Narada Muni says, even if such persons offer worship to me, I won't accept it. Krishna says that. And if you read in the story of Kolavecha Shridhar, when Lord Chaitanya accepted, you know, from his own hands, he accepted the plantains, cups and plates and the gourd. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, the proud millionaires, they can never understand this pastime. They can't understand. That because they may offer, but because of their pride, the Lord is not inclined to accept what they have to offer. But he is inclined to accept from those who are always conscious and dependent upon him. So you say, what do we do? How to deal with it? How to deal with pride? One has to look at it as an anartha within the heart, an obstacle on the path of devotional service, which cannot be overcome by our own efforts. As soon as we think, I can become free from pride by my own efforts? Sorry. No. I have to fully depend on Krishna to eradicate that obstacle on my path. I have to depend on him, pray to him. To come to the clearing stage of chanting the holy name of the Lord means to actually very attentively, very deliberately know what are the obstacles. Because to not know what the obstacles on the path of devotional service is called an anartha. Tattva vibhama. It's an anartha. To be ignorant of the obstacles on the path of devotional service is an anartha. So we should know what they are. And by knowing what they are, then we can know what we need to pray for to overcome so that my heart becomes free from obstacles. Because unless we show Krishna we want to become free from them, he's not going to take them away. If we keep on fueling our pride again and again and again, and then accept it as normal, accept it as a state of existence which I can't do anything about. It's just there. It's me. Then that complacency will actually reward us with more pride. But a devotee who knows he has pride, sees it as an obstacle to devotional service, sees it as an impediment in his dealings with Vaishnavas, he sees it as an obstacle that will make it very difficult for him to become an instrument in the service of the Lord. How can I actually truly serve the Lord when I don't depend on him? Then he knows what he has to very intensely pray for to the Lord, because only the Lord can remove that obstacle. We can't by our own strength. Yogi namapi savishan mankidan. Krishna says, of all yogis, he who abides with me great faith, worshipping him in devotional service, he's most intimately united with me in yoga. He's the highest of all. Depends on Krishna, even for the removal. But still, although he depends on Krishna, still he has to make some effort. He has to make some endeavor. And in fact, this is the exact topic we're going to be speaking about in the evenings. I was told that I was asked to give some evening classes about patience and dealing with the obstacles in the path of devotional service. So this is what we're going to talk about in the next three evenings in our classes, this topic. I think it took a long time to answer that question, and we probably have to start kirtan. Is it a quick one? Sometimes short questions have long answers.
Maharaj, actually, maybe because of over-enthusiasm, sometimes it becomes very difficult to draw a line between our capacities and how many anxieties we can take, you know. Because there are so many ways we can serve mission of Srila Prabhupada. So, how to draw a line between our capacities? Because many times we end up, we get depressed.
How to draw the line so that we don't take too much anxiety. Krishna says one has to be moderate in his activities of eating and sleeping. And sometimes it's very difficult to draw the line ourselves. And therefore we need to actually take help from other Vaishnavas who may be able to see things from a better perspective than we may be able to see them ourselves. And if we really genuinely want to continue to accept anxieties for the service of the Lord, and we don't simply want to avoid anxieties completely, which is sometimes the tendency, that's that impersonal tendency to think, let me just shift my life in such a way so I don't have to deal with anything. You know, but Prabhupada says we should be willing to accept anxieties for the service of the Lord. He says we should be willing to take risks for the service of the Lord. And in so many places, he emphasizes this point. So, but if we can't draw the line ourselves, then we should approach those who may have a better perspective and help them, ask them, please help me to draw the line. And always keep me on the right side of it. And don't let me go to the wrong side and just simply continue to avoid anxieties and thinking that that's devotional service. Is to continue to avoid anxieties and simply to accept the things that I like to do. And because there's no anxieties when I do the things I like to do. But usually that's not the case either. And then there's more anxieties of a different nature which will soon manifest. So basically my answer to your question is to take shelter of another Vaishnava and ask him to help you draw that line and to help you define that line in such a way that you always stay on the right side of it so that you can continue. Prabhupada says spiritual life is like a razor's edge. So we can slip and fall at any moment. We have to keep the straight line and follow it properly. And sometimes it takes little guidance and help from Vaishnavas. And that's why we have to take the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami, Tadati Patigrinati Guyamakyati Prichchati. He says that we have to reveal our mind in confidence and to inquire confidentially to those with whom we can actually have a confidential relationship and ask them confidentially, help me define my line. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.